Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. How are you, Miss Carrie?
I'm good. How are you, Mama?
Good, good, good. So today we're going to talk about But That Is My Kid, a bonus mom and bio mom's points of view on different scenarios. And when I was looking at the list that you'd come up with, I was thinking it's kind of like the he said, she said type of thing, but it's like, yeah. she said,
yeah.
So I think it's going to be good. Before we get into it, I just wanted to give a shout out to Brittany, who was on the show last week, because I was listening to the episode yesterday in the car, and I just thought, number one, she did such a fantastic job, and, like, clearly she needs her own show, so that's a bummer, but I feel good about the spinoff that's going to happen because of us. And number two, we did not mention it at all, and she didn't mention it, but Brittany is an Army veteran. She served in the Army, and she's also a firefighter, so she's a total badass.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. She's a rock star, and I hopefully that she will join us again on another topic.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, you know, highlight how awesome that was for all of us, and I hope everybody listening, you know, really enjoyed what she had to say on top of her amazing story. So, so let's talk about some different scenarios. So we're always talking about blending families, trying to do it gracefully, and I thought, you know, you are, I feel like, always striving to be such an amazing stepmom, bonus mom. And you've gone through so many different situations that I feel like are a little bit, you know, sticky at times. So, you know, let's just start talking about some things that have come up that other people might encounter. And I thought the first one was so good because I was like, ooh, that is a rough one. So, you and I both have little girls, and you also have, you know, stepdaughters that are a little bit older. So when you have to do things with them, like going out for personal hygiene, like when they get their periods and stuff like that, what is that experience like? So I would say for me is like bio mom, you know, you just become super mama bear and like, okay, this is my kid, this is what we need to do, this is like a first time experience, and I'm doing it. And how is that stepmom bonus mom wise?
It's definitely an interesting path, and I try to be understanding in my scenario of mm-hmm. My son doesn't have a stepmom yet. He may someday, I don't know. But right now he does not. And I try to just be empathetic to both sides of the story. So I know my side is stepmom, and I'm obviously a mom too. Mm-hmm. And how would I feel if? Mm-hmm. There's tons of different dynamics that go into that, and every situation is completely different. But I try to just do what I think my mantra or my motto is like, whatever makes my kids happy. Like if they ask me to do something and it's not harming anyone else, okay, no problem. So for example, like if one of my stepdaughters says, hey, can I go get my hair cut? And they want me to take them. I'm like, absolutely, no problem. Like that's a personal hygiene, like basic necessity, no problem. I need to get my nails done. I need to get this waxed as they get older. Like I need my highlights done, or I need to go to the GYN, like all of those things. If they ask, of course I'll take you.
Right. So, you know, it's so funny is that, so my daughter has like really cute curly hair and she's 5 and she has not actually officially gotten a haircut yet. So when you were like, oh yeah, if they ask me if I can take them for a haircut and I just take them, my immediate reaction was like, ooh, that's like, I need to be notified. I need to be like sitting next to you while we're getting shampooed. You know, it's like such an important experience. But yes, as you get older, you know, it's very simple. It's things that need to be done. So, you know, when it's like, I think the special occasions, like first haircut, first time, like, you know, manis and pedis are easy because that's something that can be done like pretty frequently. But like the first, I think, could, if you're on good terms, could be either like a heads up type of thing or a shared experience together, you know, like getting your hair cut or getting manicure, whatever.
I totally agree. Any of the like the giant things, like the first or like milestone birthdays, like stuff like that is definitely something that could be more sticky. I remember my son's birthday party, and I want to say he was like 3 or 4, not totally sure, but my ex brought his girlfriend and he asked me ahead of time, and like they've been dating for a while and my son already knew her, and I'm like, sure, no problem. It was at a place, not at my home, and it was fine. But at that event, she like commandeered it and kind of like took over. And I kind of just like cool as a cucumber, no problem, like just kind of laid back. But she was like in the forefront of him opening his gifts and like organizing all that. And I'm like in the back of my mind going, WTF, what's happening right now?
Like, do I have to take my earrings out right now?
Yeah. And I never said a word about it to him or anybody else, but everyone else said something to me. And we're kind of like, what was that about? I'm like, I don't know. Like, it was fine. No problem. But of course, I was kind of like, that's not your place.
Yeah. Yeah. And good for you for, you know, just being cool about it, because that is a very challenging situation. You know, I think our, you know, and Brittany kind of spoke to this, like being like sort of the mama bear, like you just are, that's your natural inclination. Like, all the big things and probably all the little things too. You know, we want to be there. We want to do all of that. But the reality is, you know, we're in blended families and we do have to share and we do have to emulate sharing for our children. And that includes, you know, when the spotlight's on us and when the spotlight is off and, you know, behind closed doors, still being good sharers. Coming from me, who's like a horrible sharer. So,
yes, and you've said that before. And it is hard. Like, I'm an only child. Like, I never had to share growing up. Like, yeah. So that's not, I don't think it comes naturally to me.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, when I first had, when the girls were first coming around, because Reagan was still a baby. But, like, silly stuff, like, my hairbrush would be missing. Like, that's totally silly, right? And I would get so mad. Because I spent 32-33 years at this point. Nobody ever touched my stuff. It was just me. Always me. Everything was exactly where I left it. And now I'm in a house full of 4 women. And none of my shit was ever where I left it.
Right.
Like, what the heck?
That is such an awesome observation. Because I think that's true. You know, if you're a stepmom going into a situation where you don't have any kids of your own. And you're just like, hey, where's my stuff? This is my stuff. I left it. And I would say you're a pretty like regimented, you know, like rigorous person where you have your stuff like all squared away. So, yes. You know, to all of a sudden just the chaos of like literally, I don't even own a brush at this point. I just use my children's like toddler brushes to pull my hair in the morning. So, you know, just complete chaos on the opposite end when it's, you know, your kids. So, yeah, it is an adjustment. Absolutely.
So I want to hear like your perspective. So let's say like your daughter's potential future stepmom, who I guess will eventually be her stepmom, right? Texts you and says, hey, I'm taking her out. I noticed like she has like a wart or a mole or something, concerned about it. I'm going to take her to the dermatologist. What's your reaction?
So that's so funny because in our, you know, episode last week of like finding your niche. So my niche for sure is medical things. So my mom's a nurse, you know, we like armchair diagnose everybody of mental and physical conditions. It's just a hobby of ours. So we are super medical. So literally on Saturday, I took my daughter to get blood drawn, which if you've ever had a 5-year-old to get blood, it's like one of the most awful experiences. And then 2 hours later, I got their flu shots.
Oh, good. All in one day.
I know. And because I just feel like if there's anybody that's going to do it, it's going to be me. Like, let me be the person that is there. And I don't know, there's probably just some weird psychological thing happening there, but I feel like I can handle it. And, you know, I guess maybe I want to be the person there too. That's like, let's just get it out of the way. Let's get it scheduled. Like, let's just get it over with. So it's funny when you said like dermatology thing, like I would want a picture. I would want to know like, you know, what's my diagnosis of it. It would be very hard for me to give up something that I thought was in my lane to another person. And maybe that's how we negotiate it. You know, there are things that are, you know, yoga related and, you know, things more holistically that are outside my lane that I feel like, yes, absolutely take her and do that. But this is sort of my lane. But maybe that's just something I need to work on too. So yes, the answer is a little conflicted about it.
Interesting, because I don't think in our situation I've kind of divided those lines yet. Like, we are all kind of in the medical profession, so equally all qualified to make those assessments. And I again will revert back to, for us, when one of my children ask me, if they're old enough to ask me to do something, no problem, I'll take care of it. Now, assuming is never a good thing, but I guess I assume at that point that they've already exhausted all the other options and now they're coming to me. So I'm like, okay, like I'm a doer. Like you tell me to do something, I'm going to get it done. We'll be there in 2 days. Like that's just kind of how I operate.
Right.
And I don't mean to overstep. Like I don't conscientiously say, okay, well, I'm sure that's something they would want to do or bio mom would want to do, but let me do it first. Like I don't do that. I just kind of say, all right, they asked me to do it. Let's go do it.
Right. 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 And I think that's important. And I hope, you know, that gets like transmitted to everybody involved, because I think that is your personality. And if I was on the opposite end of that, I wouldn't be like, here's a bee, you know, she's just trying to take control. I would be like, oh, she just sincerely wants to get this done and she's going to get it done. So I think that's a nice explanation for people who have stepmoms, you know, in their lives of what, you know, another explanation could be.
Yeah. And I think like when you're, it's a, you know, every situation is different, but when you're in it and you're trying to be optimistic and you're trying to find the positives in your ex's new someone, right? And however that dynamic plays out, like it's hard. Like there's a lot of personal emotions that you have to like work through before you can say, okay, yes, they just have my child's best interest at heart. And while all of us, I think, would want to feel that way, I think emotionally it's tough to get to that point.
Yes, I agree with you. And that is about us and our process, you know, because even with the birthday thing, if you're not in the place where you can share a party or even, you know, there's going to be some delineation within the same party of, okay, like you're taking control of the cake and I'm doing the games and, you know, we're taking pictures, that you have to be okay with the fact that it's going to be uncomfortable at times. But the bottom line is it's what's best for your kid. Your kid's going to be thrilled that you're both there, or that your kid gets to have two birthday parties if you're not doing it at the same time. So it is always about the child, even though it is difficult for us.
Right. And, you know, going back to our whole thing, like the kid comes first. Mm-hmm. It's always about what's going to be best for them. I have two birthday stories for you, and I would love to hear your input, feedback, reaction to both.
Yes, ma'am.
So number one would be my son. And we did birthday party up and he turned 8 this year. So we've done pretty much all of them jointly with my husband and my ex-husband and like all three of our families and everybody. And in the last few years, I stopped doing them at home and started doing them at places because it just got too big.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always kind of been cool. Like my ex-husband helps me pay for the cost. My husband and I do the other half and everybody kind of gets along. Like it's a whole big thing. This year was interestingly different because my ex brought his new girlfriend.
Right.
And she brought her son.
Right.
And it was cool. Like she and I actually talked and hung out. Like her son poured my wax candle that was burning all over himself. Like
perfect.
Thankfully didn't hurt himself. Like, but there was wax all over my living room. And it was like, at the moment I'm like, oh my God, is he okay? And her reaction was, I am so sorry. Like my kid's wrecking your house. And everything was totally fine. Everybody was cool. But afterward, I'm looking back on it. I'm like, oh my gosh, like if I were her, here I go to my boyfriend's ex-wife's house and my kid is like, you know,
tearing
wax everywhere. Like, how did that go? But totally fine. Like no hurt feelings anywhere. Like we kind of planned the party together. We're actually like in the middle of the party. My ex is like, did you order pizzas? And I hadn't because I did like a brunch thing and then I had cake and I was kind of skipping the meal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you should order pizza. I'm like, crap. All right. So I order pizza and we fed everybody and it was, you know, but it was just very like cordial, no issues.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And, you know, you're filling in the gaps of each other. Like, I think the kids are hungry. Let's order pizza. No issue about money. Let's just get it done. So that's awesome. That's a great blending.
It was. And like my husband and my ex-husband it was a game truck party. So the two of them were in the truck with all the kids playing the games. And she and I were out in the driveway with her baby, like, you know, futzing around with the dog. And like, it was just good. Like,
yeah.
It was all good.
Yes. Yeah. Success.
Second scenario. Sweet 16, like bigger deal, like more of a monumental, like landmark kind of thing.
Yeah.
With my stepdaughter. And she asked her dad and I to have this party. And we're like, okay, great. Like, I love party planning. Mm. Cool. All the way through the planning part, I felt this desire and like need to like involve her mom.
Right.
Because on the other side of it, I would be completely devastated if my daughter didn't involve me.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally, like, all the way up to the day of the party, like, a couple days before, I'm like, really, can you at least, like, invite your mom for, like, pictures, like, something? Even if you don't, like, want to have her there for the entire time, like, you want just to be your friends, like, that's fine. But, like, you have to at least, like, have her there. And I'm still, you know, even though our dynamic in our situation is not fabulous, I just really felt strongly that I would be devastated if that were me.
Mm-hmm.
So she agrees. She's like, yep, I'm going to invite her. Okay, cool. That fell apart. They got in a big fight. Like, all kinds of stuff happened. She didn't invite her. She didn't come to the party. Missed out on the whole thing.
Mm.
And I think, and I don't know, but if I, like, on the bio mom side, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard. I mean, I guess, you know, when you have an older kid like that, the dynamics are between you and your child, you know, there are certainly influences of, you know, their father and, you know, the bonus mom and stuff like that. But, you know, the reality is that if that relationship, you know, came into conflict, then that is, you know, really on the two of them. I would say when you were talking, it reminded me of something that just happened to us the other day of where you just really extend yourself in knowing of like reciprocity in the future. So, and I do this too. So whenever I'm on the phone and I'm talking to my daughter's father and, you know, she's whatever, watching My Little Ponies or she's involved in some art project. And I say, do you want to say hi to dad? And she's like, no. Well, no, get over here and say hi to your dad. Because if that's me on the receiving end and I hear, oh, she doesn't want to talk to you and she'll talk to you tomorrow, you know, you're crushed. So you have to overextend yourself. And so we were on the phone yesterday and my daughter was doing something and she's just consumed. And I hear her dad say, no, come over here and talk to your mom. And I just thought that was really cool that that's where we're at in our relationship, because when it is you, as you did, you know, with your stepdaughter, when you're on the other end of it, or you can, you know, project when you're going to be on the other end of it, you know how crappy that's going to feel. So you just, I think, try to model that consistently so that, you know, you can try to avoid those situations. And I guess when they're older, it's not as easy as just, you know, come and talk to your mom. It's no, like, come invite your mom, come, you know, be cordial to your mom, don't get in a fight with your mom, and those things are kind of out of your control. But I think, you know, you did the best you could. You tried to include her in every step of the process. And some people, like, you know, we talked about last week, that's their niche, party planning. You know, you're organized, you're energetic, you know a lot of people, and so that's your niche. But to involve her as best as you can, you know, and at some point you just have to say, like, okay, I did what I could do.
Right. And I felt good about it. Like, I felt like even if nobody else wanted that to go that way, like, I felt in my heart, that's the right thing to do. So I did as much as I could without kind of like overstepping that fine line.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that you talked about tonight about how when you're on the phone with your daughter and she's with your ex, like how that dynamic plays out. And my family does kind of the same thing. Like, my ex would be like, come over here and talk to your mom. Like, put the Xbox down and, like, come talk to your mom. And I'll do the same thing. Like, talk to your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was having drinks with a girlfriend tonight, and she said that her and her ex do the same thing for their daughter. Like, she puts her to bed. Like, they're in bed. It's quiet so that she can focus. And it's like, okay, this is time to call daddy. And they call dad. And then there was an occasion where that didn't get reciprocated on the other end, and she was like distracted and didn't want to talk to mommy, and of course, like, broke her heart.
Yeah.
But then dad kind of followed up later and was like, had her call back and say, I'm sorry, mommy, like, I really love you, like, how was your day? And they've gotten to that point too, where you're like being mutually respective of each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or respectful, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It is a process. And I think, you know, that's just a good example for the kids. You know, there's no bias on either side and there's no disrespect. You know, that your children need to respect you and you need to respect them and you need to respect the other parent in the situation. And if that's modeled well, then that gets, you know, internalized. So that's awesome. I'm glad for her, because that can be, as we know, you know, that can be very difficult.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think, like, some of the other topics that we were, you know, talking about or we wrote down to talk about are just territorial type things. Like, when it's your kid and they're going with their dad or their mom and their new other parent or bonus parent, you feel left out. And that's the bottom line. Like, no matter what the situation or what the event is, if you're not part of it, you're going to feel left out. It could be t-ball practice. It could be going dress shopping. It could be a sweet 16. Like, it really, I don't think matters what the event is. It's just that feeling of being left out.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Cause it's like, I always feel like, well, I'd like to do that. And then I was like, well, I'm not in that relationship anymore. So there has to be, you know, some sort of consequence at some point, you know, like, you, this didn't work out, so you don't get to be in every event and you don't get to be, you know, in every situation, and your child is fine and they are, you know, extremely happy. So now you, like, take that and, okay, how are we going to move on? But you're right, it is about the missing,
right? And I think, like, as an adult, you can kind of handle it for yourself, and you make a decision when you get divorced that you're like, okay, this is what's going to happen. But it's hard to project far enough out into your children's lives all of those things that you may miss out on.
Yeah. And even when the relationship is good, I think that's the part that's unexpected, is you don't realize, no, you're still going to miss stuff. You know, like, you can be content with your choice and you can be content with the path that your life is on, but you can still miss, you know, they're like mutually exclusive. There doesn't have to be, you know, an intersection there. So, and I think that's the part where you're like, when am I just not going to feel this? And maybe you don't feel it as strongly, but you still feel it.
I agree. Like it's when it's, you know, it's always going to be your child. That feeling will always be there, but you adapt and you make it work and you, you know, alternate your holidays or you come up with new arrangements so that it all kind of works and blends well. So here's one. I have a good question for you. I think like vacations is something you've experienced recently.
Mm-hmm.
How do you put a positive spin on, you know, my kids now going away on vacation, an extended vacation with my ex and his new or her new someone? And how do you be okay with that and, you know, make it a positive thing?
Yeah. You know, that's what I was thinking when I was saying about like the missing is that, you know, of course I would still love, you know, I would love to be with my daughter every single day and every single moment and every experience that she's on. And I just, it just doesn't work that way. So, you know, I have to show her that, you know, through my happiness, and I am happy for her, even though sometimes I might be faking it just a little bit, but that, you know, she has, and we've talked about this with you as, you know, a child growing up in divorce and reading your parents and really like, you know, internalizing that she's reading me all the time, that she is so sensitive and kids are, you know, just, you don't even have to say anything and they're already picking up on your emotions. So I do actually have to be happy for her to go on vacation and for her to feel happy and secure to leave me. So, you know, so then I'll say, well, you know, what's great is I had you all last week and now you're going to go on vacation. And this week I'm going to exercise at night and I'm going to go out with my girlfriends and I'm going to go to Brooklyn and visit my friend who I haven't seen in 2 years. And I'm going to work late and I'm going to catch up on all the things that I haven't been able to. And so that is what I'm going to do, which is good for me and which I need to get done while you are away. So it's a little bit of convincing myself, but it is the reality of like actually all the things that I love to do and that I need to do when she's not here.
And I think that's amazing because I feel like it does two things. It reassures her that you're okay and that you're going to be doing your own thing. But it also lets them know, and I've experienced this with one of my other girlfriends who has two children with her ex, that mom has a life too. Like it's not always the other person that's out doing stuff and I'm the mom and I'm always here for you. Like, when you're not here, like I'm not sitting here like knitting, I am doing my own thing. Like I have a life. And I think that's important for them to see because, you know, kids, and I remember doing this myself, kids view their parents as just a parent.
Right.
Like, so for you to express that to her and say like, I'm going to do all these other things is really cool because she says, okay, my mom's okay. I'm free to go have my vacation with my dad and have fun and I don't have to feel guilty about it. And I know my mom's okay.
Yeah, totally. And you know where I heard, or I guess I read it. I think I was following Drew Barrymore on Instagram and she had a really great quote that I just loved. And she was saying that as a working mom, because you and I both work outside the home, that instead of, you know, you're giving your kids a kiss in the morning and saying, I have to go to work, instead of saying, you know, I'm so sorry, I hate going to work and I don't want to go to work, but I'll be back soon. I never say that. And that she doesn't either, because you don't want to give your kids the wrong idea about your life, as you said. So, you know, I love my job. I love my coworkers. I have a great time every day. I love, you know, the work that I do. I find it extremely fulfilling, you know, equally as fulfilling as being a mom. So, you know, when I leave for work, I just say, you guys, I'll see you later. Have a great day. I'll call you and, you know, we'll get back together and we'll have fun tonight. But it's never like apologizing for having a life outside of them. So I think it's just in the same vein as that, is we do. We have other lives and they can be content in theirs and we can be content in ours.
Yep. And I think that gives them like a sense of peace. Because I remember I had shared with on an earlier podcast where I knew that my parents had like lives outside of me, but I don't know at what age I recognized that, but I was more focused. I remember feeling more focused on the guilt of, are they both okay? Like I knew when I was with mom, I felt guilty that my dad was alone because my dad, right. Well, he did really marry, but I don't remember at what age that was. Like, I just remember there was that time period where I felt like he's all alone.
Yeah.
And then my mom, same thing. She would be alone for a while. And she never shared with me when I was younger. Like that was like her, you know, her kid free weekend. She was out dating and doing her thing, which was awesome. But I didn't know that then. So I was just like, oh, is my mom okay? Like, so I think it's actually better the way you're doing it is like, yes, I'm good. Like everybody's fine. Like go have fun. Mom's going to have fun too. And I can't wait for you to get home.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way of saying it. And if we can, you know, save our kids a trip to therapy once or twice, then let's try to fill that now. I'm sure there will be things in the future.
One last topic on this before we finish up for the night. Yeah. It's my kid. I feel like the social media, as you know, as crazy as life is and as social media driven as it is, how do you feel or how do you handle it when your ex's girlfriend, fiance, wife posts something with your kid and you see it?
So interesting point is that so when we started going through our separation and divorce, you know, I like cringe a little bit about it now, but I can look back and say it's just the process that I needed to go through. I, you know, unfriended my ex and his family and a lot of our mutual friends, which I realize now was hurtful and probably didn't need to be done. But like I said, I just needed to kind of like go about things maybe like unobstructed. And so I, you know, over the years had reconnected with friends, but I am not friends, you know, with his family. It's funny, my family is still friends with his family, like on Facebook and stuff like that, but I do not share, I don't see what he posts. And for me, you know, I'm a therapist and a lot of times we talk about boundaries and how it's important to have like healthy boundaries. That's just something that I needed to do where I don't know what he's doing all the time. And I don't know what he's doing with my daughter all the time. And that was hard, extremely hard when she was, you know, not an infant, but a toddler. That's just where I needed to be. So I don't know all the things that they post. And I am like a little bit leery. I go on social media and stuff like that. I love it. But I don't post like my every move. So I guess I just don't look for him to post his every move, even if we were on Facebook. So together. So I guess that's just a decision I made, is that we need to have separate lives, even on social media.
Gotcha. I think that's probably a healthy one. I would say I'm somewhere in the middle of that. And then I have a friend who on social media, she is the stepmom and she's actually good friends with the bio mom and like the daughter, and they share everything. And like, there's pictures of the two of them together with the daughter. And it's kind of all cool. They tag each other when like the daughter's with one family versus the other family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fabulous. I don't know that that's the norm. Like, I probably think most families aren't that like cordial and everybody gets along. But I think it's amazing. And I feel like for me, I was cautious in the beginning about it because I didn't want to offend anyone. But as time, like we've said before, as time goes on, like I do post on social media a lot and I kind of just share what's going on. And, you know, we did Christmas tree picking out or tagging the other day. Mm-hmm. And I often do wonder though, like what if she saw that, and I don't know that she watches me on social media, she may or not, but if she did, how would she feel?
Yeah.
Because I can kind of think how I would feel.
Yeah. Right. And so But that's also, you know, part of your personality. In a good stepmom explanation, you're trying to be inclusive. You know, you're trying to say, like, oh, here's what we're doing as a family. And you're proud of it, you know, that you take a lot of pride in incorporating all the kids and giving them all the same amount of time and the same amount of love. So, you know, even though it's hard at a distance to see, I'm glad that you're able to say why it is that you do it, you know, and we all come from a different place and have a different perspective. And I think, you know, just understanding it and respecting it is what's most important.
I agree. Well said. Thank you. Well, I think we are out of time for tonight. So we hope we shared something helpful for you guys tonight. If something resonated with you or what you're going through, let us know and share our podcast with your friends. Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills and to blend gracefully. See you next week on the Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families.
Cheers.